I come from San Pedro to put Redondo Beach on the map. Tonight is going to be a very dignified reading. I will not rejoin or have rejoinders with the audience. I shall read you dignified poetry in a dignified way. We shall comport ourselves as ladies and gentlemen of culture. Thank you. Do you know I caught that $73 horse out there last Saturday? I had it, and I had a reason for it. But when you figure a horse is 35 to 1, you just put $2 down because you figure everybody else's reasoning is better than yours. But maybe someday I'll learn. I will soon start to read poetry. Might as well start about now. Jam. Jam. Driving in from the track, I always turn the radio on to the freeway traffic alert station. And the other day I heard the best one. The man said that the Santa Monica Freeway near the San Diego off-ramp was congested due to an indecent exposure case. They're working on getting him off of there now, he said. Meanwhile, I'd suggest you take an alternate route, which, of course, nobody did. I have now been here 9 minutes. And you've been here a lot longer, haven't you? Now, I'm not as tired as you are, so okay. I know that. What have I seen? I like your way, Catullus, talking about the whore who claims you owe her money, or that guy who smiled too much, must have cleaned his teeth with piss, or how about the poets come with their blameless, tame verse, or about how this guy married a slut. You come right out and say things. You're not like the others. But listen, Catullus, didn't I see you at the racetrack bar last Thursday? You had this great whale of a cunt with you. Must have scaled 190. One breast flopped loose, dressed in a lavender sheet. I believe I heard her pass wind in public. Her teeth green, her buttocks of sagging celluloid, and you drunk and pawing into her anus. Surely that was not you, Catullus, at the racetrack bar last Thursday. Now that guy knew how to write a few lines down. Up and down and sideways and upside down, just the way some of us fuck. Of course, a lot of us don't fuck at all. We sit home and to fuck me, right? Aren't you girls? Boy, that old ugly guy, how can he think I'd give my pussy to him? do I have to explain this? This is not dope. All right, you know what it is.
What is it?
An Indian cigarette called a Share BD. The lepers roll them for, for nothing. Just to feel good doing something, you know, while you're... A leper roll, that one did a lousy job. And the guy who made this lighter must have been another leper. Trouble. I had my camera and took the shot through the shop window. And a rather tall, ugly lady, neck bent forward, ran out of the shop. "What are you doing?" she asked. "What did you photograph?" "I photographed the naked mannequin," I told her. "I'd rather you didn't take any more photos," she said. "All right," I said, and I walked down the street with my camera, with her staring after me. I felt guilty and upset. Upset. Even though I had done nothing really improper. It usually happened to me at least once a day. I turned, dropped to one knee, focused, and photographed her. She waved her arms and screamed, and I shot her again. The trouble with these people is that their cities have never been bombed and their mothers have never been told to shut up. Right. How did I ever get in a fix like this, looking at all these faces? You know, if you think I look bad to you, competition. We live by the harbor now, and at night the ships often blow their foghorns. She is a light sleeper. She will leap up, sitting straight up in bed. "Damn! What is it? What is it? I thought you farted." "Not that time, dear." She is a good child. Living with me has dysfunctioned her nerves. Actually, I like to save up my farts for the bathtub. Those gray bubbles waft up a magic stench. Farting is much like fucking. You can't do it all the time. But when you do, there oftentimes comes a feeling of proudness, as if your artistry in the act were a rare and precious thing. I fart more than I fuck. And I fart better than I fuck. And I am pleased to be mistaken for a foghorn in the middle of the night. What's this, some LSD cum liquid? Take it away. The secret of my endurance. I still get letters in the mail, mostly from crack-up men in tiny rooms with factory jobs or no jobs, who are living with whores or no women at all. No hope, just booze and madness. I get most of their letters on lined paper, written with an unsharpened pencil or in ink. in tiny handwritings that slant down to the left. And the paper is most often torn, usually halfway up the middle. And they say they like my stuff. I've written from where it's at. They recognize it truly. I've given them some chance, some recognition of where it's at. It's true, I was there, even worse off than most of them. But I wonder if they realize where their letter arrives. Well, it is dropped into a box on a wire fence behind a 6-foot hedge and a long driveway to a 2-car garage, rose garden, fruit trees, animals, a beautiful woman, mortgage about half paid after a year's residence, a new car, 2 cars, fireplace and a green rug 2 inches deep, with a young boy to write my stuff now. I keep him in a 10-foot square cage with a typewriter. Feed him whiskey and raw horse. Belt buckle him pretty good 3 or 4 times a week. I'm 60 years old now, and the critics say my stuff is getting better than ever. If you've noticed, everything is calculated. When I finish the last poem, the last drink will arrive at the same time. Let's work out. On the hustle. I suppose one of the worst times was when, after a drunken reading and an all-night party, I'd promised to appear at an 11 o'clock English class. And there they sat, nicely dressed, terribly young, awfully comfortable. I only wanted to sleep, and I kept the wastebasket close in case I puked. I think I was in the state of Nebraska or Illinois or Ohio. No more of this, I thought. I'll go back to the factories if they'll have me. Why do you write? A young man asked. Next question, I responded. A sweet birdie with blue eyes asked, who are your 3 favorite contemporary writers? I answered, Charles Bukowski, and Charles. Somebody asked, what do you think of Norman Mailer? I told them that I didn't think about Norman Mailer. And then I asked, doesn't anybody have a beer? There was this silence, this continuing silence.
You're in Nebraska.
And the class and the prof looked at me, and I looked at them. Then the sweet birdie with the blue eyes asked, won't you read us one of your poems? And then that's when I got up and walked out. I left them in there with their prof, and I walked down through the campus, glancing at the young girls, their hair, their legs, their eyes, their behinds. They all look so good, I thought, but they're going to grow up into nothing and something but trouble. Suddenly, I braced myself against a tree and began puking. Look at that old man. A sweet birdie with brown eyes said to a sweet birdie with green eyes, he's really fucked up. The truth at last. I start drinking before you people were born. I'll be drinking after I bury you. That's a fucking unreasonable statement, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you're drunk.
Yeah. I wish you were. You'd love to see me die, just puke my face. It's all right. It's okay, I understand. Let's go. I am a reasonable man. I had flown 1,000 miles to see her at her request, quote, just for old time's sake, unquote. We'd had the night together, and that was breakfast in this Arizona cafe. Nice, quiet place, the sun coming in on the red and white checkered tablecloth. She said, I can't eat. The tears were dripping down her face. I'll finish your breakfast, I told her. No use wasting it. She straightened her back, inhaled, and screamed. The waitress and the fry cook came running out. Is everything all right? The waitress asked. Oh, yes, I answered. They both went in back and watched us through the serving window. Across from me, her tears were still coming. Have a bite of bacon, I told her. You'll feel better. Shut up, she said. Just shut up. Look, I told her, I'll leave today. Let's try one more night, she said. We can talk. I finished her breakfast, paid, and we left. That night, we drank and talked and then slept. About 3 a.m., I awakened, howling in pain. She had grabbed my balls and yanked. You crazy bitch, I said, what's the matter with you? You didn't fuck me. You didn't fuck me, she said. I got up and began dressing. What are you doing? She asked. Doing. I pulled my pants up. I'm going to catch a cab to the airport. I sat down and began putting my shoes on. Then she was out of the bed and in between my knees, unzipping me. I want you to stay, she said, bending her head toward my center. I want you to stay, she said. All right, I said. All right, I said. You know, it's hard to talk while that's going on. All right, I said, as a summer moon came through the curtains, just for old time's sake. Eating the father. That isn't what you think it means. Eating the father. Well, the father was dead. He died shortly after the plane crash. They waited some time. They were snowed in, husband and wife. The pilot had gone off for help, but the pilot had been gone a long time. So, bit by bit, they ate the father. It was her father. It worked. They were alive when the rescue team arrived. The pilot who had gone for help had frozen. When they got back to civilization, they told the newspapers that they had asked God, and God had said, "All right." And they knew that Father would understand. They were photographed standing together and smiling. I suppose I would have done the same thing without even asking God. But I think a better photograph would have been of the remains of the father. Something like an after Thanksgiving turkey. Okay, now that's the first half of the reading. We'll now call an intermission, and I'll be back for the last 30 minutes. You'll now be entertained by a guitar group who will sing you songs about sailing the dolphins, saving the American Indian, helping the whale, and no nuke at all, you know. Just nookie. Fook them? How do you do that?
Hold your breath.
Well, I mean, you got any place else to go, just go on, but don't ask for your money back, because I already got it. So, I mean, you know, if you want to... You got me all upset now, goddammit. What did you say? I'm carrying my steel, man. All right. Now behave yourself, simmer down, and get straight here. All right, all right. They always say that, but I enjoy talking more, even though it's not as good. Yeah, but I'm running this show. You're not running it. God damn it. You see? You guys are a real rowdy gang. God damn, I know how I'm gonna handle you. You're tougher than the Vancouver gang. You're tougher than the New York gang. You're tougher than the East Lansing, Michigan gang. And they were tough, man. Redondo Beach, my God, who would have ever thought? I'm gonna do it, don't worry. I'm burning time and making money, that's all, and drinking. You paid $7? I got in free and I'm drinking and taking my time. I figure if you paid $7 to get in. Oh, jeez, I'm gonna puke. Okay, not for you, but for me. For everybody. Everybody's nice, okay? Love the people. Love the whales. Love the dolphins. Oh, this is not the poem. Help the hostages. We gotta worry about the goddamn hostages, don't we? They're suffering. I wish I could read my poetry to the poor hostages right now. I worry so much about the hostages every night, I can't even jack off, man. It's terrible. Okay, all right. You guys, okay. I believe in evil because, let me tell you why. Evil can do something exceptional. Now, accepted beauty only goes on gliding, accepted beauty. Here I am, accepted beauty. I died on the cross 1,980 years ago. Look at me. Oh, ho. But evil, man. He'd say, hey, motherfucker, eight ball in the side pocket. And he'll do it. I believe in what's happening now. I detest history. Good night. Here's the next poem. Shut up, you're making me dull. I don't want to be dull, you know, because you paid $6. You don't want to see a jerk up here, do you? Or maybe you do, huh? Steve Martin, the jerk. Made $18 million, and I went to sleep in the middle of it. It's okay. It's all right. But it just cost you $6, okay? Let's get to work, God damn it! No, we won't. I can't tell you anything, man. Okay, let's go. I'm not gonna make it. This is the night I'm not gonna make it. They're gonna have to pull me out. I'm gonna weep on stage and say, all you people are so much better than I am. And all these years I tried to fool you. All right, Spider-Man, very good. That was good, that was a good shot. I'll accept that. Okay, let's go to work. Okay. The Nine Horse. I was at the track one day, and I had drunk much beer the night before, and I was late. Is it drank? But you know, this was accepted by the New York Quarterly. And my second line said, and I had drank much beer the night before, and they crossed it out and put drunk a U there.
You drank it, you should know.
Okay, but very good, that says, but I'm trying to say, my first sentence said I drank much beer, but they changed it to drunk. You know, people can get so intellectual, they lose the feeling of the street language. So, okay, I'll read it the way I first wrote it. Thank you. But look for me in the New York Quarterly, it costs. Oh, shit. All right. How are we gonna finish the second half? The Rams trot onto the field. All right, Christ. The Nine Horse. I was at the racetrack one day and I had drank much beer the night before. And I was late for the first race, but I parked, hustled in, and I could feel this beer shit really coming on. You know, not only coming on, but I had to hold the cheeks of my ass together while walking real fast from the parking lot and through admission and toward and into the crapper. Luckily, there was a stall, and I got my pants and shorts down real fast. And then it came, hot, glorious, and stinking. When I got up and wiped, I looked down, and there was my wallet. Afloat in all of it. I dipped in, got it, flushed, got out of the stall, washed up, walked out, then stood in the corner and pulled the bills out of my wallet. They were wet and they stank. I heard the announcer say, "It's now 1 minute to post time." I wanted the nine horse. I had this very strong feeling for the nine horse. I put the bills back in my wallet. I didn't know what to do. Then the announcer said, "They're at the gate." I ran around the corner, found a betting window, pulled one of the bills out of my wallet and hollered, "10 win on the nine horse." The seller picked up the bill and looked at it. "Come on, come on," I said, "it's good, just a little wet, what the shit?" The seller looked at me, hit the button, and I had the ticket. Then I went out and watched the race, and the nine horse ran out. You know, thank you. Applause is very stimulating, but there's a falsity about it. Like, you know, you ever go to a symphony orchestra thing, they just, sometimes they applaud in between where they're not supposed to applaud, and then all the stiffnecks, they go, It's like being at a Catholic mass, man, you know? You did the wrong thing. You don't respect great artistry. Well, hey, motherfucker, I'll slice your assholes from your balls. I won't. You know, every time I go through an airport, sometimes I forget, and this big buzzer goes, "Bruh!" I say, "What the hell? All I got is this." I say, "Oh, you walk through again." They go, "Bruh! Bruh!" And I say, "Well, shit, all I got is this." And you know what you usually get? Some black hip chick, you know, like they know me, you know them. She goes like this. She looks at it and she says, "Well, man," she goes, "Ooh, shit, man." And you know what happens? We both look in each other's eyes with respect. And she says, "Well, I'll give you a little ticket, baby. You can come back and see me later." One learns survival by surviving. And I haven't been paid yet.
Where's his money?
Boy, don't you think I'm thinking about it? You want to help me spend it? Hey, why don't you just go, drive north down South Avenida de Norte, take a little dip off the bridge at the St. Thomas Francis Hotel, suck your dick out your left ear, fart through your mother's nostrils, inhale and exhale a tonic, that's really brilliant. Now I'm really getting mental. Well, do an atonic death, not atomic. Spelled with an N. Oh, did you realize I was a holy man? You mean the pockmarks or the... What? Oh, that was a low-down joke. I didn't even want to spill it on myself. Who Charles? Who Charles? Okay, let's go on. Goddamn, I'm getting as bored as you are. I don't need a Cleopatra. I'm always exposing myself. I go out on the front porch in my shorts, bend over to pick up the paper, and my parts fall out. I sunbathe nude in the backyard, and sometimes I stand up. "You fool," Linda says. "Mrs. Cafferty can see you over the wall." "Where is she?" I ask. "She's standing there watering her rose bushes." "Oh, get down." To me, nudity is a joke. I don't think nude people are very attractive at all. I like my women fully clothed. I like to imagine what might be under there. It might not be the standard thing. Imagine stripping a woman down and she has a body like a little submarine. With periscope, propellers, torpedoes. That would be the one for me. I'd marry her right off and be faithful to the end. This one's not so good. I'm gonna read it because it's true, that's all. I like it. It's called Hemingway. Yeah, you know, like me, kind of almost like, but not quite, okay. Hemingway. She said it was in Havana in 1953, and she was visiting him. And one day she saw him, and it was in the afternoon, and he was drunk. He was stretched out on these pillows, drunk. And she took a photo of him, and he looked up and said, don't you dare give that photo to anybody. When she came from Italy this summer to visit me, she told me about it, and I said, that must be some photo. She told me that my house was very, very much like his. We drank, had dinner somewhere. Then she had to take a plane out. The photo is framed at the bottom of my stairway now, looking north. He was fat and he was drunk and he's in the right place. Is there anybody here tough enough to try me? Try some shit. Do some anger. Now that's good. You fight him, you know? Okay. Bandini. You should all read a guy called John Fante. That was a man outside of, you know, Celine. Okay, I'm not gonna talk too long, but this guy is a tough motherfucking guy who writes better than I do. Almost better than I do. His name is John Fante. He has one leg gone, he's blind, and there's nothing left of him. But he's got more human soul than the whole crowd of you sitting there. I would guess that. I might be wrong. John Fante is my buddy out of nowhere. I love him. So let me get on. He's better than a good man. He's a magic person. Everybody should read John Fante. Yes. Ask the Dust.
Yes.
Wait Until Spring, Bandini. Dago Red. Yeah. Brotherhood of the Grape. Okay. Fan letter. Dear Mr. Kandinsky, you probably get many letters, and I guess you hardly ever care to bother to read them, but shit, man, it would really be good to get an answer from Dinsky, you know, to find it there in the mailbox when I come home from the foundry, whereas I work as a grinder chipper. My girlfriend just left me, man, after 6 years, just like that. Well, I'll just flog off and read Kerouac. Did you ever read Kerouac? Do you ever meet Kerouac? You know, you try to come off as some tough old cat, but I bet you're soft, man, soft as slime. I'm 25. I've been writing 9 years and the stuff keeps coming back. I do jazz poetry readings at the local bar and they seem to like it. I mean, there are some shits who don't understand anything. Do you write in the morning or do you write at night? And what's with the racetracks, man? I mean, every time I go to the track, I come back with shit and no toilet paper. Enclosed is some poetry. You don't have to read it. You know, most of your stuff is just exhaustive expressions of two-bit burnt-out metal case fucks. How can you possibly drink when you write? Well, you don't have to answer this letter, and you can tear up this fucking poem and the poems. Forget I sent them. Forget I wrote them. I'm just going to crawl up into the fucking girders and ruminate. Yours, Billy Chips Weatherton. Shh. Oh, we're working toward the end. Christ, I'm happier than you are. Yes, I have an address. Unknown. Any little tunt, cunt, tunt, puss, tunt tainted, tweeched, zero, tweaked fuck by the surfboarders of hell. Just twitch their nostrils up the new coke of nowhere and leave me alone, goddamn. I came not to Redondo Beach to conquer it, but just to get $1,000. Okay, let's wrap this goddamn thing. Okay. The drunk with the little legs. He fell down a stairway as a child. And they had to operate on his legs. And when they were done, his legs were about half the length they were meant to be. And that's the way he grew into manhood. With those very short legs. He hung around Paris cafes and sketched the dancing girls and drank very much. It's strange that most of those who create well seem to have some malady. He was subsisting on his paintings, many of them used by the cafe as advertising posters. But along came the beautiful and terrible whore, and he painted her and became involved, short legs and all. She, of course, was hardly faithful, and one night, defending her faithfulness, She told him about his legs. That ended the affair. He turned on the gas jets, then shut them off to finish a painting. He was a little gentleman. At least he was in this movie I saw. He liked to wear a top hat, and he sketched his things while drinking. Doing it like that, cutting through the odds, he had it down tight and clean. He sketched all the dancing girls that would never be his. And one night, he got it all down and done, tumbling drunk down a stairway, little legs whirling. He became involved with that other terrible and beautiful whore. Don't give me any shit, man. I'll come out in the audience and just cut your goddamn nodules off your earlobes. The strange things about people now that happened in the 30s, people born in the 40s, I gotta give you a speech. We're really tough. I mean, nowadays, you can go up and you want to get a flat tire change. They can't do it. You can't do the engine. When I was living, Christ, anybody could do anything. When you went to a dentist, he'd solve you. When you went to anywhere, not this. Okay. Well, I like the good old days. Man, I'm all fucked up. I got to say something now. People can't do what they're trying to do. There's something awful going on. Right. Okay, I'll finish the thing. I wish I could meet a dentist who could suck my dick. Let's go to work here, okay? Tour. I am this low-slung car, deep yellow, driving in an Italian sun. I have a British accent, green shades, no dirt under my fingernails. The radio plays Vivaldi, and there are two women with me, one with raven black hair, the other a blonde. They have small breasts and beautiful legs. And they laugh at everything I say. As we drive up the hilly road, the blonde takes out my penis and begins sucking toward it. While the raven black hair leans across and bites my ear. We stop for lunch at a very pleasant place. We have drinks before lunch, during lunch, and after lunch. After lunch, we will have a flat tire on the other side of the hill. And the blonde will change the tire while the raven black hair photographs me, lighting my pipe against the tree background with flowers, clouds, birds about. Okay, you guys, your $6 are shrinking up like a dead dick out of Norway under a sheet of snow. These are extras, like a little saliva on the edge of a cunt. Like I used to do in the old days. Really lick that clit, you know, you learn how to do. Hey, baby, I'll live with you if you keep licking that thing. You know how tiresome that gets? You may be 20, 30 years, 40 years younger, you gotta go. Okay, baby, I'm glad you're enjoying it. Oh, God. Okay, well, I'm losing my mind, so we're gonna go from here. This one is called The Recess Bells of School. My father's feet stank, and his smile was like a blaze of dog shit. When I saw the brisk, hard stubble hairs of his beard in the bathroom basin, sickening thoughts would enter my skull. I'd sense arcades fat with fools forever. To be the very blood of that hated blood made the windows intolerable, and the sounds and the flowers and the trees ugly. But one lives. Suicide before the age of 10 is rare. Other men's sons seem so energetic and knowing. Brutal were the calla lilies. Brutal the nectar and the kiss. Brutal the recess bells of school. Brutal were the softball games. Brutal the soccer and the volleyball. The skies were white and high, and I look at the faces of the game players, and they were strangely masked. Now, I eat in cafes, attend concerts, live with women, gamble, drink, trim hedges, buy automobiles, have friends, have pets. I attend weddings, funerals, boxing matches. I pay a fair share of taxes. I stand in lines at supermarkets. I clean my fingernails. I cut the long hairs out of my nostrils. I take sun baths. I repair damages. I attempt not to offend. I laugh. I listen to the viewpoints of enemies. I telephone plumbers and lawyers. I get towed in from freeway breakdowns. I get my teeth cleaned. I search for heroes. I go blind when I look at the sun. My father's feet stank, and his smile was like a blaze of dog shit. It's all the same. Listen, I'm the toughest guy in town, always. I am Humphrey Bogart.
Fuck you!
There, that's what I've been waiting for. At last! You know, the only thing I can say about Redondo Beach... Let me read the last poem and get the fuck out of this clip joint, huh? Come on. I'm fading out. I'm a fuck. Okay, here we go. But one thing you guys gotta know, difference between, okay, hey man, I can take you right now. I would like you to walk down here, it's giving me all the trouble. I bet I can beat the shit out of you. Right? goddamn well I'm a badass, man. I've always been. I ask you to come down, you're gonna challenge me, I'll kill you. Come on down, we'll make it. The last poem is called. You know, you're gonna get on my nerves finally, I'm gonna find you. Okay, this ram. You come down, read your poems now. Okay. This last poem is called Giving a Poetry Reading.
When you gonna do it?
Look at them. This place like a bar. Sold out. Poet and audience both drunk. Now and then a flashbulb goes off. The mic still doesn't work. The poet sits. A chance to drink more. A little girl comes up, sweet, sexy, psychotic. Holds one of the poet's books open to autograph. He writes, I could rip you apart in 3 minutes. Forgets to sign his name. Calls for another drink. Yeah. Yeah. The mic works. Now the poet reads, feeling put upon, forgetting that he has agreed to read for money. After several poems, the poet stands up, announces, you goddamn slimy shits. You think this is easy? It's nothing but a motherfucking bloodletting. Give us more blood! Screams a young boy from the back. It's the best poem of the night. The poet drinks off half a glass of straight whiskey. Lights a cigar, hacks it out. Sometimes they laugh, sometimes they applaud. They confuse him, but most things do. He drinks his way to the finish. No, that there's an applause of relief. Yeah. Exactly. Then another sweet, sexy, psychotic girl comes up to his table, says she's from the local paper, would like to ask some questions. She sits down. He answered the first question, looking at her hair and her eyes, imagining her in bed with him. What do you think F.F. Scott Fitzgerald, she asked. I never, he answers, think of him. Waving hand in nonchalant emphasis, he spilt a large beer across her tight blue jeans, saying, Jesus, Jesus, I'm sorry, rubbing his hands along her knees and her wet thighs as if to dry her. She leaves and the promoter waves with the money. $432. Shit, says the poet, you promised me $500. Well, we had to pay these two big guys $68 to keep the crowd from swarming over you. You mean I was that good, asked the poet. that bad, says the promoter, getting up and leaving. The poet pours another drink, grabs the mic. Listen, I ain't finished yet. I'm going to read you another poem. Somebody shuts the mic power off. Nobody protests. The poet gets down from his table, makes it to the men's room, stands pissing. A man next to him is also pissing. The poet says to the man, "Listen, buddy, where can I get a piece of ass?" "I was going to ask you the same thing." This reading is over.